Take our Bibles and go to the sixth chapter of Ephesians, Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, I had to leave the platform. I love just telling you this stuff. I had to leave the platform and go back and get the outline God wanted me to preach tonight. I thought if I just left it in the office, he'd leave me alone, but apparently not. So, hey, Brother Jerry, I can't believe we have this kind of a preacher. Sometimes I can't believe you do either. Pray for me, amen. Well, I was pretty sure that I was right. Oh, my. And the funny part about it, the sermon I wanted to preach was called The Greatest Misconception About the Will of God. It really was. Let's all stand. Ephesians chapter 6. I want you to know it was good, too. I don't know. I'll tell you, when I read that little note there, the Holy Spirit, and I really did. I wasn't being disobedient. I was not clear. But I think what I just read, it just seemed like the Holy Spirit said, go speak on that other subject. Ephesians chapter number 6, verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Now, don't let these verses just because of their familiarity not impact you. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I do ask for your help tonight. I certainly want to bring the message that you want, and I want to present it in the way that you would want it presented. And Lord, I'll need your Holy Spirit's help tonight. I guess I always do. Maybe I understand and recognize sometimes more than others how badly I need it, but I know that tonight I do badly need your help. So come alongside, dear Paraclete, dear Comforter, and strengthen this preacher. Give me clarity of mind and thought, and help me to present in such a way that the Father would be pleased, the principles tonight. I ask, Lord, for your help and strength. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. We read a portion of Scripture, and we're not going to do an expository sermon on this portion of Scripture tonight. I wanted to read it out loud because I want to present, along with some other Scriptures, a concept that I think has fallen by the wayside of late, an idea that is firmly entrenched in Scripture, and yet it seems like it's becoming less and less emphasized from the pulpits of America, and even in some pulpits treated with disdain. We read in Ephesians chapter number 6 and verse number 10 that we need to strengthen ourselves, and we need to equip ourselves, and we need to put some armor on. And the reason is, folks, is because there is a battle that rages constantly. And there would not be the need for Ephesians chapter 6 if we were not in a warfare. Now, don't kid yourself for 1 minute that all of a sudden the devil has retired to the Bahamas and he's sitting in a chair by the beach sipping some drink with an umbrella in it. He's not there. He's just as mean and ornery and planning just as many attacks and trying just as hard to get the church off track as he's ever done before. And because of that, we have to take on armor. You know why? Because there's a fight.
Right. Yes, sir.
There's a fight.
Amen. Right.
And we need to have the defensive armor, and we need to have the offensive sword, and we need to press forward with the shield of faith, and we need warriors. Amen. We need warriors. Philippians chapter number 2, let's turn there. I'm going to use a word in just a moment that not only has become unpopular in fundamentalism, but even the media has used in such a way to cause us to, I think, want to even further distance ourselves from it. Stay with me for a minute. Let me lay the biblical groundwork. Philippians chapter 2, look at verse 25. Yet I supposed it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, notice this, my brother and companion in labor and what? Fellow soldier. Now he calls out the name Epaphroditus, and the church of Philippi knew Epaphroditus, and then he said, he's my brother. You know, it's good to have brothers in Christ. It's good to be able to look over to another Christian and be able to call him a brother. And that's not just a spiritual relationship. I think sometimes it transcends that. And folks, within the confines of this church, we ought to very much feel like family. We really ought to. My brother, and notice this, not only was he a brother to Paul, but he was my companion in labor. You know, Paul says, when there was work to be done, I could always count that there's one guy that would not shirk the responsibility, but he would come along beside me and assist me in my labors. Now, folks, there's brothers, and then there's companions in labor, and some brothers are both of those things, and some are just brothers. And if you're saved, you're going to be my brother. But folks, in the upcoming months, we need people not just to be brothers, we need them to be companions in labor. Amen? Not afraid to work. But notice the third thing he says, and fellow soldier. I'm laying the foundation here. And fellow soldier. Why would he say that? Why would he call him a fellow soldier? Because Epaphroditus, not only was he a Christian brother, and not only was he a fellow worker, a companion in labor, but he also stood beside Paul when there was a fight to be fought. And Epaphroditus understood that we were in a warfare. We were in a warfare. I hope you're listening tonight. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. I haven't forgotten the word yet. I mean a second, but I haven't yet. I'm going to give you a word in just a minute. And maybe we should not run from it. Maybe we should embrace it. 2 Timothy chapter 2. And verse number 1, 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 1, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Isn't that interesting? My son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. We need young men that are developing in the church to be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. We're talking about spiritual strength here. Notice this, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful who? Who shall be able to teach others also. I'm going to talk to about some men's stuff tonight. I'm going to challenge you in this matter of developing some spiritual masculinity. I'm talking to the young men and the men in this room. You see, God has a plan here to be able to pass down truth. God's got a plan to be able to keep this thing going. But it always requires there to be another generation of faithful men to be able to hand over some things to. Yes, sir. There's actually four generations, if you'll notice this, in chapter 2, verse number 2. And the things that thou hast heard of me, he said, Timothy, you heard some things from me, and I gave them to you. So that's two generations. He said, the same commit thou to faithful men. And so you need to find some faithful men. And those men need to then, when it comes their time, disciple others, teach others also, and it just gets passed down that way. Now, don't forget that. All this is going to tie together. Isn't it interesting that in verse number 3, we have the word therefore? And that strongly connects verse 3 and verse 4 to verse 1 and verse 2. Thou therefore. What do you mean therefore? Because, Timothy, there's a process going on here, and I'm fighting some fights, and I have some truths, and I need to hand down some things, and I need to have some faithful men that'll take them. And Paul, by the way, is getting towards the end here, and he's handing off everything he can hand off, because pretty soon it's going to be his time to go to heaven. Timothy, I'm passing out everything I can pass to you. Now you find some faithful men and you give it to them and you instruct them that when it's your turn to fade off the scene, they need to find some other faithful men, and we got to keep this thing going. Now I want you to absorb all of this, because we're going to flip the coin over in a minute, and I'm going to tell you why I think, and I'm going to identify clearly, I hope for you tonight, what I think Satan's up to in society today. And boy, you know what? There's a way that the Satan can break the chain. And I think he's in the process of breaking the chain. You see? Now, thou therefore, notice this. He's talking about in verse 1, my son, be strong in the grace. And listen, I'm committing some things to you because you're a faithful man. Now go find some faithful men and then teach them to look for some faithful men and pass these things on. Thou therefore, because of all these things, endure hardness as a good soldier. There's the word again, a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that what? Warreth. Soldiers. Warreth. Entangleth himself with the affairs of this life. That he may please him. By the way, who's that him? H-I-M. Who's that him? God. That's right. Jesus Christ. God. That he may please him, or God, who hath chosen him to be a what? So who chose us to be soldiers? Whose idea was it that we should be soldiers? Is it my idea? Here's the word that we're running from, and we shouldn't run from it in fundamentalisms. Militant. Makes you nervous, doesn't it? Militant. That refers to the military. That refers to soldiering. That refers to warfare. That refers to a battle, an engagement, a cause. Amen. Amen. And so the Bible over and over again, and folks, we could go on and on. We could go to 2 Timothy chapter 4, where Paul at the end of his life, as he's signing off, says, I have fought a good fight. And all through the Scriptures, over and over again. I don't know what y'all think this is, but this isn't no tea party that's going on down here. I mean, we didn't show up tonight to play Twister and eat Oreo cookies. Kids don't even know what Twister is. Amen. Like, I don't have that video game. I'm sorry, but we don't show up to school 5 days a week so we can play patty cake. You see, we've got to produce soldiers. You don't think there's a war going on? Ask Brother Jim Townsley if there's a war going on. You don't think there's a war going on? You think the devil surrendered? I've never, by the way, Operation Think of That, we've got some things going on, Brother Howe. April, we're going up to the Marine Reserve Base. By the way, pray about that visit specifically. That's the unit that lost men in Iraq and brought back a lot of men from Iraq that were wounded, some of their fellow soldiers. We're going to have the opportunity April, what date is that? 16th? 14th, Saturday, to go up and have an Operation Think of That meeting with them and hopefully minister to them and present Jesus Christ to them. You know that your preacher has a heart for the military. You say, Brother Jerry, why didn't you go into the military? I did. I'm still in. I didn't do four now. There's nothing wrong with that, but I'm just saying in the battle that we're in, it rages all the time. It rages all the time. I mean, the bullets never stop flying. The attacks never stop. I mean, the battle rages. And in the middle of the battle, we've got to produce some soldiers. You see, we've got to find some young men that get it. We've got to find some young men that's willing to be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. We've got to have faithful men that we can then one day disciple and then one day commit things that were committed to us so that this thing don't die in the next generation. Amen. We've got to have some young men, and I'm talking to young men tonight. I'm talking to men tonight. Ladies, I'm glad you're here. But we need men. We need men. And in our independent fundamental churches, we need men that will develop a soldier's mentality. We need men that will understand the seriousness of what's going on. We need men that will be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. We need men that will be willing every morning to put on the armor of God. We need men that are faithful, that we can commit some things to, that are strong in the grace of Jesus Christ, that endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Yeah, you're going to go through some tough things. Endure it. You're going to suffer some attacks. Endure it. Don't entangle yourself in the affairs of this life so that next thing you know, you can't be involved in the battle because you're so entangled. You're so tied up. You're so preoccupied. There's a battle going on. You see, there's a war going on. And we ought to want to please Him who hath chosen us to be soldiers. Amen. I want General Jesus happy. I want General Jesus happy. He's the commander in chief. Amen. So Brother Jerry, what's going on? Well, I'll tell you what's going on. The devil understands there's a war, and if you want to defeat an enemy, the best way to defeat an enemy is to stop the production of soldiers. Just stop the production of soldiers. Say, Brother Jerry, how can we produce soldiers? Give me an ear tonight, okay? Give me an ear. How do you produce soldiers? Well, several years ago, I told you the story once, but several years ago, I got a call from a buddy of mine, and he was in the Army, and he recently went to drill sergeant schooling, training, and then he was stationed in Fort Knox, and he called me one day from Fort Knox and said, "Listen, clear this day if you possibly can. Come down, and I want you to spend the day with us. Where I'm training some recruits, and I want you to spend the day with me." And I said, "Why are you wanting me to come down? What's going on?" He said, "Well, just come." And I said, "Can I come another day?" He said, "No." I said, "Why this day? You'll be glad if you just do it." I said, "Tell me what's going on." He said, "All right. That's the day we train and use for the first time the M60. And if you'll come, I'll secure you 500 extra rounds and you can shoot the M60. I said, "That day is cleared." And I went down for a day and soldiered. How many of you have military background? You did a stint in the military. Would you raise your hand? Amen. What a blessing it was, Brother Casper. I got to go to basic training for one day and leave. I had soldiers begging me to smuggle them out in my trunk, but wouldn't do it. And I went down there, got there early in the morning. They were in the dark doing PT, and they took off on a run, and I went with them. I followed a safe distance in the car so I didn't crowd them, but... And they slowed down on the hill. I beat my horn, you know, hoping it would motivate him a little bit. But say, "Where'd you go?" "We went to boot camp. We went to drill." basic training. Why? Because they're going to produce some soldiers. And produce some soldiers. You sign up, you want to be a soldier in the military, you know what? Nobody gets to skip it. You got to go to boot camp. Folks, we need to construct some spiritual boot camps. And I want you to, I'm teaching you this because I need you to understand a little bit about what's going on. I need you to get behind what's going on around here. We need to construct some boot camps. We have just recently did some changes in the school. And we've split the classes and we are spending more time specifically in the gender training of our older kids. You ever think about this? If you're going to prepare a young lady to grow up and be a Christian lady, and you're trying to prepare a young boy to and develop him into a Christian man, I mean, that's pretty different, isn't it? I mean, according to this book, it is. Not according to society, it isn't. But if you read this book, what the end product's supposed to be is not only pretty different, it's pretty much diametrically opposite. Yet we always want to put them together and then try to find some neutral, and because of that I think we're turning out neutral. Amen. Got to construct a boot camp. And I said this here a while back, but I want to say it again. By the way, ladies, I hope you will not take offense to this, and I hope you'll listen exactly what I'm going to say. I'm glad that every young man has a mama. By the way, they need a mama. They do. I think every young man needs a mama. But, you know, I'm not their mama. One mama's enough. Let me say something else. Mamas, you're needed. But you cannot train a young boy to be a man. That's men's work. So when I got down to Fort Knox, I looked in all the barracks and no mamas. Nobody got to bring their mama. Why? Because men needed to train men. And mamas are saying, "Well, what do you? Well, what do they do? You don't want to know. Well, what are you going to do to my boy? There's some things you don't need to know. You don't really want to know. Amen. This is good stuff. Even if it's a little quiet, this is good stuff." You need to construct a boot camp. By the way, the Bible backs this idea. It says that the aged men are to teach the young men. And there's some things that only aged men can teach young men. And by the way, I'm not talking about being mean. I'm not talking about being cruel. I'm not talking about all that goes on in boot camp. I'm not talking about screaming in a kid's face. I'm talking about the fact that men have to develop manhood in young men. They have to. By the way, same thing with the young ladies. The aged women should teach the young ladies, the young women. You know, I can't take a girl and turn her into a successful Christian lady. I've never been one. I don't know much about it. I preach some general Bible principles. I can try to help as a pastor, but the honest truth is, ladies, the young ladies around here do not grow up to be Christian young ladies. It's not so much the men's failure as it is the ladies' failure. And if the young men are not becoming strong warriors for Christ, then we need to step back and take a look at the program. So sometimes what we need, folks, is to construct and not be afraid of this. And listen, construct a boot camp mentality. Mamas, listen to me. I know you're not going to understand everything Pastor Jerry's trying to do. But you really need to take several steps back and just let your son come under the tutelage of men. Right. Amen. So you construct a boot camp if you want soldiers. I want this school, I want this church to produce young men that are strong in the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, that will grow up and be faithful men whom we can with confidence commit some things to, who will endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ, who won't entangle themselves in the affairs of this life so that they can please the one, God Almighty, that called them to be a soldier. If you don't agree with any of that, you just disagree with the Bible. I'm just telling you what the Bible said, it specifically says. You see. Now let me take you to Luke chapter 9. We're going to move on. Luke chapter 9. Verse 23. Okay, let's put our thinking cap on, and for a minute let's take a look at the enemy and see if we can think a little bit like the enemy would think. The Bible says that we are in a warfare against the devil, principalities and powers. It's not a physical war that we are in, it's a spiritual war. And although, folks, let me say this, in this, and I'm not being disrespectful, but in this old soldier of the faith over here, there's hundreds of scars that you'll never see with your eyes. But I guarantee you they're there. You don't stay in the warfare. You don't stay a lifetime in the warfare and never get a nick and never get a wound and never take some shrapnel. Okay, that's why you got to endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Now think about this. Now let's just kind of stay with me. Verse 23, Luke 9, 23. If I was the devil and I said, you know what? I want to eliminate soldiers. I don't want any more Christian soldiers. I want to, as much as possible, minimize the number of Christian soldiers being produced by the Church of Jesus Christ. Then I'm going to look at the minimum requirements necessary to be a soldier. And by the way, I think even today, Brother Casper, there's still minimum requirements to join the military. There's some things that disqualify you. There's some things that if you certainly can't do or don't have, you can't be a part of the military. You're not going to put a uniform on. You're not going to go over and fight the fight. So Jesus says in verse 23 this. We talked about, first of all, constructing a boot camp, how to produce soldiers. Number two, teach them the three soldier disciplines. I'm talking about spiritual soldiers here. Verse 23, and he said to them all. That's pretty inclusive. I think that's all of us, isn't it? It's everybody. If any, what's the next word? Amen. We need some of them. If any man will come after me, okay, you want to follow the general? You want to join the ranks? You want to enlist? Here's the three bare minimal requirements. Number one, let him deny himself. Number two, take up his cross daily. Number three, follow me. Now this is different, folks. This is different than the requirements to join the Army or the Navy or the Air Force or the Marines. This is different. If you're going to join the spiritual army, if you're going to become a soldier of Jesus Christ, there's some things that have to be developed in our young men. Now let me just give you these three ideas. Brother Jerry, why do you at 45 years of age look at an upcoming generation and sometimes just fear whether or not there's going to be faithful men or how many faithful men we're going to have to hand this thing over to? I'll tell you why, because of what I'm reading right here. And I think it's unfair to lump an entire generation in the same basket, because there are some upcoming strong young Christian soldiers. Let me tell you, they're out there and they're in this room. But you have to learn to do some things. You have to learn some Christian character. You see, when you send a guy to boot camp and you say, I'm going to make him into a soldier, it's not just teaching him. It's not just running him through PT. It's not just teaching him how to assemble and disassemble his weapons. It's not just shooting a gun. You know what it is? It's something that's done on the inside, because there's a soldier's honor, a soldier's duty, a soldier's mindset, a soldier's integrity
And this is the requirements. I want you to, by the way, soldiers, the word honor means something. The word duty means something. Loyalty means something. Now, let me have you stay with me here. If I was the devil, and I said, you know what, I'm gonna try to take an entire generation, I'm going to try to shrink the base of possible Christian soldiers, then this is what I'm going to do. I'm the devil, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to try to use the heathen culture and the worldly influences. I'm going to use the TV and the music and everything I can use, and I'm going to try to, first of all, convince a generation that, you know what, they shouldn't have to ever deny themselves. If they want something, they ought to be able to just get it. We got a generation that don't know how to say no to themselves. Well, I wanna. And unfortunately, folks, as much as we'd like to point the finger at that generation, there's three more pointing at us. You know why an 18-year-old stubbornly believes that he ought to get everything he wants and should never have to say no to himself? Because when he was two and you said no in the toy aisle and he fell down and kicked his feet and screamed, you gave in and bought the toy for him. That's why. Self-denial. That means you want to go somewhere, but it's not best. And by the way, you have standing orders to stay where you're at, so you don't go there even though you want to go there. You know, you just listen, just because you want to do something don't mean you should do something. Just because your flesh wants something doesn't mean it ought to get it.
Amen.
You know, self-denial. That's why we don't have any much fasting going on in Christianity today. I mean, we don't even have how to say no to the flesh. Flesh wants something, we just stop everything, make sure the flesh gets what the flesh wants. Say no. Guess what, flesh? You're not running this show. God's running this show.
Yes, sir.
I don't care what you want. I care what God wants, and I have orders. I have standing orders about what you're to do and what you're not supposed to do. And guess what? We're following orders.
Yes, sir.
Amen. So I got a generation that just thinks if they want it, they ought to have it. By the way, that's why we've got a generation in massive debt. That's why we've got a generation that are slaves to the flesh, entrenched in lasciviousness, no self-control, can't control their thought life, can't control their flesh, can't control their eyes. I mean, gentlemen, you got your license. Congratulations. Now you're on the road by yourself and you're in the car alone and you drive by a billboard and you know what? There's no one around and your eyes look over and you notice there's something on that billboard that you shouldn't be looking at. And so you turn your eyes away. You say, but I want to look at it. And I know the old wicked flesh always wants to do wrong. The old man always wants to do wrong. But guess what? The old man shouldn't be reigning in your body. The Holy Spirit ought to be reigning in your body. So you say to yourself, I know fleshly eyes that you want to look at that, but guess what? I'm denying you that. You don't get to do it. You're not going to do it. You keep your eyes ahead of yourself, and you know what? You say, well, nobody's watching. Well, you don't know your Bible, because the Bible says the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. Well, this is good stuff.
Amen.
We got a generation that don't know what to deny themselves. I'm proud of you young people that are keeping yourself pure and clean.
Amen.
I'm proud of your young people that are not just giving in to every fleshly desire that you have. You know what? You got soldier in you. You got some soldier in you. Now notice the next thing. Let him deny himself, take up his cross. How often? Got a generation don't want to do anything that's hard. What's hard? So? What's hard? So? A generation, 16-year-old boys, and mama's still cleaning their room for them. Don't do any yard work. Dad's got to come home after working 50 hours a week and go out and mow the yard because 16-year-old boy is too busy playing video games.
It's hard. So what? Folks, let me just share something with you. War is hard. Battle's hard. It's just hard. Picking up an old cross is hard. It wears on you. It's heavy. It chafes you. So what? Shut up. Carry it. Stop whining. I mean, some of you, at the end of every school day, you just can't wait to get in the van or the car because you've got to have your little whine fit all the way home. Of every little thing that happened at school, it was hard or difficult or you didn't think was fair. Shut up. It's supposed to be hard. It's supposed to be hard. Endure hardness as a good soldier. So what? Guess what? There's a lot of hard things I've done this week. There's a lot of unpleasant things I've had to carry this week. I didn't call you up whining about it, so don't whine to me about yours. Amen. I'm having a little too much fun here. I try not to smile, but I can't keep it off my face. Because this needs to be said. You just don't understand. You're from a different generation. You just don't know how hard it is to do right. You just don't know how... Oh, give me a break. You weren't around the 60s. You weren't around the 70s. You have no idea what you're talking about. It's never been easy. You didn't grow up in a sexual revolution with the queers coming out of the closet and rock and roll being introduced and long hair and mini skirt. I mean, listen, folks, all you face is just pathetic reproductions of the originals. Don't tell me you're facing stuff we didn't face. Don't give me that junk. It's always been hard. By the way, generation before that, it was hard. And generation before that, it was hard. It's always been hard. You just do it. You just pick it up and carry it. Can you imagine going down to Fort Knox and showing up with one of the drill sergeants said, son, pick that log up. You carry it. You three, pick that log up. Carry it over here. All of a sudden, one of the soldiers whips out his cell phone, calls his mommy. You just can't believe what they want us to do now. Yeah, I want you to be a man. That's what I do. I want you to be a man. You see, teach them the three soldier discipline. Self-denial. So what? Well, I'm hungry. So what? Well, I'm thirsty. So what? Well, I got to go to the bathroom. So what? Stand your post. I don't feel like going soul winning. So what? Bus route's hard. So what? I didn't want to wear a tie tonight. I might be asked to usher. And this is the crowd I'm going to hand what to? What am I going to commit to them? Amen. Let me give you something else real quick. I'm on number 3 and I've got 7. We're in trouble. Don't take away their uniforms. Number 3, don't take away their uniforms. You want to produce soldiers? Take them to boot camp. You construct a boot camp atmosphere. You get them in the mindset that we're purposely training you guys because guess what? You're the next wave going in. You better listen to what we're saying. And by the way, we're bringing in men that's been in the battle to teach guys that are going into the battle. Young men, listen to me and that go into this Bible class. When I walk out of that office and walk down that stairs and up here and I come in here and stand behind this pulpit and I'm teaching you stuff that's to prepare you for manhood, you best listen. I'm not telling you something I've heard. I didn't tell you something I read about. I'm telling you something I experience every day of my life. You better listen. You better start listening. You see, give them a uniform. Stop taking away their uniform. The Christian biblical Christians
Let me tell you this. Fundamentalism. Fundamentalists. We have a uniform. See, we're not going to integrate the sexes. See, Brother Jerry, you're probably one of these radicals who don't believe women ought to be in combat. You're right. Talk to anybody that will be far enough away from a microphone and far enough away from political correctness to tell you the truth that's in the military. You say, well, they can do anything that men can do. Well, then why do they have two different standards for physical, for their physical, what do they call it? Yes. There's two different sets of qualifications. If they were the same, there wouldn't be two different sets. I mean, the Bible says the weaker vessel. I mean, they're not going to... I'm sorry, ladies, but the average gal in the military, if some 220-pound guy goes down, she's not going to reach down, throw him on his shoulder, and carry him out of harm's way. She's not going to do it. This is fun.
Amen.
See, some of us didn't jump on the women's lib wagon that came through in the 70s. Some just let it go on by and just held on to our King James Bible and said, this too will pass. Amen. Nothing more disruptive that's happening in the military right now than the fact that women are being integrated into the military. And you know what? Nobody will say this near a microphone. I mean, you know, but they all know it.
Amen.
The political correctness is even trumped national security. So give them a uniform. Don't take away the fundamentalist uniform. Guess what, guys? When you join the military and you get in the line, they don't ask you what kind of haircut you want. You think we're radical. They don't say, well, let's taper it a little more. You can't find taper. There is no taper. Crazy. Craziness. I don't want to wear this, Sarge. Can't believe they make us keep our shirts tucked in. Give me a uniform. Give me a uniform. Ladies, stay in uniform. I love everybody in here. But you're hearing a preacher telling you the truth. You need to get in uniform. Say, Brother Jerry, why? What's happening to masculinity? And it is. Park yourself anywhere. You park yourself out of any kind of public school and hang around worldly public school kids. And you know what you'll find out? I'm telling you, this is truth. The average young lady is mouthy, pushy, bossy, and masculine. And the average young man is effeminate. He's a little ear ring, little poodle haircut, little wiggle in his walk. Say, why are you... Listen, I'm going to tell you something. All they're doing is mirroring what they've been raised to see. Now, here's an oasis. What we're saying is young men dress like young men. Young ladies dress like young ladies. Stay in uniform. Now, I could take a lot of time here. And if you've got honest biblical questions, I can give you 5 or 6 sheets of paper. I can give you a thorough study on it. But what I found out is, real quickly, you'll find out whether or not you really want to be taught, or no matter what the Bible says, you're just going to do what you're going to do. But anybody that studied it can't argue it. The Bible's plain on this.
Amen.
All the Old Testament, listen, the Old Testament law, there's only a handful of things that's listed as abominations to God. And if I took that list and put it on the backboard behind us, God hasn't changed his mind on one of them, except apparently the one where it says that if a man puts on a woman's garment, or a woman puts on that which pertaineth to a man, and we think that he's changed his mind on that, but he hasn't changed his mind on having, I got to be careful kids here, but having physical relationships with animals. And for, that's one of them, by the way, it's on that same list. He hasn't changed his mind on homosexuality.
And you want to take this list of stuff that God said is an abomination to me, and all of a sudden, just because certain fundamental churches say that it's no problem, it's not that bad, and certain Christians, well, she's a good Christian, and she still does this, and he's, you know, well, I don't know if it's an abomination. Every morning they get up, first thing they do is an abomination to God. Excuse me. No, I'm not mad at anybody. I love you. I'm going to tell you, I'm glad I'm your preacher no matter what you do. I want to be your preacher, but I'm telling you the truth.
Amen.
We need to get back into uniform. We need to get our kids in uniform. The Bible says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed. You know how that happens? By the renewing of your mind. You get in the Bible and you stop thinking worldly. You get in the Bible and you see what the Bible says. You start thinking scripturally. And because of that, it changes everything that you do. It changes your viewpoint. You see. Let me give you something else. Equip them for battle. That means they're going to have to know their weapon. These young men need to know this book, folks. By the time a young man graduates from Blessed Hope Christian School, he ought to know that book. He ought to know how to handle that book. He ought to know how to use that book. He ought to know how to study that book. First thing we did when we started the new young men's classes, I came in and for 3 weeks taught them on lay preaching. By the way, we have men all over this room that preach every either weekly or monthly that aren't called full-time into the ministry. But you know what? They're skilled enough in the scriptures to open it up, study out a sermon, prepare it, and present it in a understandable and meaningful way. And they preach in nursing homes. They stand before Sunday school classes. They preach in junior churches. They do it every week. Every week some layman is preaching. I want all of our young men to know how to preach. They don't know how to preach. They don't know how to pick this book up and study it out and find a message and prepare it and present it. Parents, don't fight me on this. What in the world's wrong with you? I'm trying to get them skilled in the use of the weapon. I'm tired of the 3.5-minute little scripture devotionals, and they're ignorant of the Bible, and they don't know how to handle the Bible, they don't know how to study the Bible, and they memorize it long enough to get a little star on something, and then 2 seconds later they couldn't tell you the verse or anything it was about. If they don't know how to use this weapon, then they're not going to be a soldier. You imagine going through boot camp, the whole time through boot camp, and at the end of boot camp they graduate them, and all of a sudden one of them said, wait a minute, weren't we supposed to learn how to shoot a gun? Oh, that's not important. You march well. And boy, you look good in that uniform. But, and by the way, some of you, we're going to ship out in a week, but good luck. I mean, folks, of all the things they learn, the thing that's probably going to come close to saving their life is know how to use that weapon, and blindfolded know how to use that weapon, tear it apart and put it together, and know how it works, and know how to accurately use it. So this is the number one textbook at Blessed Hope Baptist School.
Amen.
And we're having report cards coming out. Let me tell you something. If you've got a kid that's got a sad-looking grade in Bible, you ought to reconstruct their life. You ought to do whatever you have to get their attention. This is the number one book. I don't care if they make an A in chemistry and an A in geometry and an A in English, and then they come home with a C- in Bible, and oh, well, that's... that at least they're doing good in the important subjects. And that's our attitude. It's a stinking worldly public school attitude. Horrible attitude. Wicked attitude. Man, I'd rather my kid come home with A in Bible. I want them to come home with the best grades, but if they're going to, I'd rather have an A in Bible and C in everything else. They've done their best. I'm happy with that. But this ought to be number one. You see, listen. Teach them to clearly identify the enemy. Part of the training. Too many Christians spend their whole life shooting at Christians. A lot of Christians going down with friendly fire. Picking the fights with the wrong people. It's the devil. It's the devil. It's the devil. In your home, are you teaching your young people who the real enemy is? Are you teaching them to fight the deacons, or fight the pastor, or fight the teacher? Or what are you doing? They got to identify the enemy, and the enemy is the devil.
Engage them in the conflict. I believe this. I'm giving you a bunch of them quick here, but listen to me. We didn't construct this Christian school down here to hide kids. We constructed it to train them so that we could march them out there under proper leadership and training and go out and occupy and advance the cause of Jesus Christ. So if you send your kid to a Christian school but you won't send them out soul winning, then you're mixed up. You don't send them to Christian school and you won't get them involved in a youth revival, you're mixed up. It's not a hiding place. It's a training preparation place. So you got to engage in combat. And they do that when they're young under the tutelage of men that's been there before. And they should always march with someone who's been there before, but they should be taken out to battle. That's where you learn to fight. You see, let me give you this one. I think it's important. How do you produce soldiers? Construct a boot camp. Teach them the three soldier disciplines. Well, I could take that farther. Give them a uniform. Equip them for battle. Teach them to clearly identify the enemy. Engage them in the conflict. Number 7. Listen to this because this is important. Care for the wounded. Care for the wounded. Have you watched the news? Seen what's happened with the Walter Reed Hospital situation? Could I say this? Heads are rolling, aren't they? Could I just say this? They oughta. Sorry. But our soldiers went out there and fought, was wounded, deserved better. I mean, somebody knew. Somebody's job, if they didn't know, to find out. Say, well, someone, it's ending some careers, probably oughta. Let's send a loud signal. If somebody's fighting and they get wounded, we don't put them in a rat-infested room with mold and mildew on the walls and give them subpar care. Now, look up here and listen to me, folks. I want you to get this because you got to understand what's going on. If we're going to train soldiers and we're going to engage in the conflict, there's going to be some wounded, there's going to be some casualties. I'm sure that our beloved president would love to be able to say to the American people, we're going to send our young men over there and we're going to fight a battle, but I can promise you no one's going to get wounded and no one's going to get killed. But he can't make that promise. You know why? Because it's unrealistic. If you're in a war, those things are going to happen. There's bullets flying. There's bombs going off. There's shrapnel. And every once in a while, one of ours is going to take a hit. And too many times in our churches, when that happens, somebody goes down. Bunch of soldiers break off fighting and form a little circle around them and start kicking the snot out of them. What's with that? I mean, it's your brother. It's your companion in labor. It's your fellow soldier. Okay, Satan got a shot in. Okay, he took a hit. 10 to him. Care for him. Patch him up. Put them in a place better than Walter Reed. And then you know what we'll do when they get well? We'll get them back in the fight. Your brother Jerry, can you promise me there's not going to be some casualties around here? Nope. We're training soldiers. We're in a war. It's what it is. It's what it is. So I'm going to fight. By the way, if I get hit, would you help me? If you get hit, I'll be there. I'll be there. Is that a deal? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, you'd bless our time together. I want to pray for Brother Townsley again, Brother Jim Towns. I want to pray for the people out there. I want to pray for Christians everywhere that's in a battle. It's coming. It's here. The war's on. It's always been on. I pray, Lord, that you'd help us to develop a Christian soldier mentality. Develop in us, again, a spiritual toughness, a spiritual strength, Lord.
Help us to do right even when we don't feel like it. Stay right even when we don't feel like it. Help us to stop spending all of our time straining at a gnat and swallowing a camel. There's a war going on. Thank you, Lord, for choosing us to be a soldier of Jesus Christ. Help us, Lord, as we're trained. Help us to learn. Help us to listen. And Lord, help us to help each other. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Let's